I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy news update for Friday, October 22nd. Authorities are offering a reward of up to $20,000 to anyone who can help track down a 78-year-old man suspected of killing his girlfriend in Massachusetts 40 years ago. The FBI on Thursday announced the reward for information regarding the whereabouts of Andrew Peter Dabbs, who was accused of shooting 20-year-old Robin Shea on October 10, 1981, while they were driving through Norton. Her body was found by a passerby on the side of Route 123 after authorities say Dabbs pushed her out of the car. Dabbs was an auto mechanic whose last known address was in Derry, New Hampshire. He also has ties to Massachusetts, Colorado, Florida, Indiana, New York, and Pennsylvania. Officials say they don't know if he's still alive. The FBI has released a wanted poster, which includes a photo that's been progressed to portray what he might look like now. Joseph Bonavolanta, special agent in charge of the FBI Boston office, said officials are doing everything they can to bring Dabbs to justice and provide some much-needed closure to Robin's family, who has already endured enough heartache. A Quincy playground has been rededicated in memory of a Vietnam War veteran who played there as a child. The Lawrence Grenham Playground on Macy Street on Howes Neck recently underwent a major overhaul after his childhood friend, James Fratalillo, worked with veterans groups and the city on that project. Officials, family, friends, veterans, and others gathered for a rededication ceremony recently. Fratalillo said it was a fitting tribute to his friend who gave his life for his country. Grenham and Fratalillo left high school early to fight in the Vietnam War, so Grenham's family received his high school diploma posthumously during the recent ceremony. The park now features a granite monument with a bronze plaque and a picture of Grenham. Grenham's sister-in-law attended the ceremony. A fire burned out a building next to a control tower at the old South Weymouth Naval Air Station this week. The former base stretches across town lines. The building that burned was in Abington. This happened Wednesday night about 8 p.m. Abington Deputy Fire Chief Jack Glynn said the fire destroyed an approximately 25 by 50 foot building next to the tower. He said because the building was so remote, there were no fire hydrants, and firefighters had issues getting water to the building. The fire did not spread to the tower. The cause is undetermined. Abington, Rockland, and Weymouth firefighters responded. Last year, investigators determined that somebody intentionally started a fire that burned a number of buildings at the old air base. Parts of the base have been redeveloped as Union Points, an apartment complex, and some sports fields. The 2003 fire at the Station nightclub in Warwick, Rhode Island, was one of the deadliest in U.S. history. 100 people died, and more than 200 were injured. The fire started when the crew of the band Great White set off fireworks on stage. Flames quickly engulfed the building. After the tragedy, the club's owners, Jeffrey and Michael Dedarian, and Great White tour manager Daniel Beakley were held responsible, but a plea agreement meant there was no trial. Beakley and Michael Dedarian served prison time as part of the agreement. Jeffrey and Michael Dedarian are now telling their side of the story for the first time on 48 Hours. Former Rhode Island resident and investigative journalist Scott James wrote a book about the Station nightclub fire called Trial by Fire. In an interview, James said that the lack of a trial left many questions about the tragedy unanswered. He said another unknown part of the story was the state let the Dedarian brothers decide which one would serve prison time. James said that Jeffrey Dedarian, who is a former TV news reporter in Boston, has always wanted to talk about the fire. He said repeatedly he always wanted to talk because he always felt the people who didn't talk when he was a reporter must be hiding something. The 48 Hours episode, The Station Nightclub Fire, Who's Responsible?, will air Saturday night at 10 on WBZ. A federal judge denied a request by several employees at the largest hospital system in Massachusetts for an injunction to block the company from placing them on unpaid leave for violating the system's COVID-19 vaccine mandate. But the judge on Wednesday did not rule on the issue of whether the workers at Mass General Brigham were the victims of discrimination for being denied medical or religious vaccination exemptions. Judge said it's a tentative decision based on an incomplete factual record and legal analysis. Another hearing was set for November 2nd. The vaccine mandate is in the interest of public safety, according to the judge. Employees at Mass General Brigham, with which 80,000 workers is the state's largest private employer, had until this past Wednesday to show they'd received at least one shot or be placed on unpaid leave. Those who have not received their first shot by November 5th face termination. Eight employees filed the federal lawsuit Sunday, saying disability and religious exemptions had been wrongly denied without explanation. The suit does not question the legality of the vaccine mandate. More than 98% of the system's workers are vaccinated, according to Mass General. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has issued a warning about a salmonella outbreak linked to onions. CDC says fresh whole onions have caused a large salmonella outbreak in 37 states, including Massachusetts, where 12 people have gotten sick. Nationwide, 652 people have become ill, and 129 ended up in the hospital. The agency says if you have any unlabeled onions at home, throw them away. The CDC says do not eat, sell, or serve red, white, or yellow onions imported from Mexico and distributed U.S.-wide by ProSource. Most people infected with salmonella have diarrhea, a fever, and stomach cramps. CDC says most recover without treatment in 4 to 7 days. Well, rowers will gather at the annual Head of the Charles Regatta in Boston and Cambridge for the world's largest rowing events. The race returns today after the pandemic forced organizers to cancel last year's event. Only those individuals who are fully vaccinated against COVID-19 will be eligible to volunteer at the regatta. However, a vaccination mandate is not in place for athletes. Athletes will, however, be asked about their vaccination status, which may be used in the event of a COVID exposure at the regatta. The Head of the Charles is a 4,702-meter head race with a rolling start between the Boston University DeWolf Boathouse and the Christian A. Herter Park. It was started in 1965. Well, Saturday is National Prescription Drug Take-Back Day, and here in Quincy, officers will be in the parking lot of the Quincy Police Station from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. to collect unused or expired medications. Both over-the-counter and prescription medications will be accepted. However, aerosol cans, inhalers, thermometers, and needles are not accepted. The event is free. Check of business news. Stocks are mixed. The Dow is down 6 points. The NASDAQ rose 94. The S&P was up 13. Asian stocks also mixed. The dollar rose. The euro was higher. Oil at $82 a barrel. Sports, it's a decisive game 6 for the Red Sox in Houston tonight at 8 p.m. for the American League Championship Series. The Celtics will take on Toronto at the Garden tonight at 7:30, and the Bruins are in Buffalo at 7 o'clock. Of course, Patriots getting ready for Sunday afternoon's game against the Jets at Gillette at 1 o'clock. The National Weather Service forecast today, partly cloudy, still mild, high 72. Partly cloudy tonight, low 58. Tomorrow, mix of clouds and sun, cooler, high of 62. Partly cloudy, 60 on Sunday, and scattered showers Monday, high 55. For the boater, waves about 2 feet. Southwesterly winds gusting to 20 knots. High tide right after 1 p.m. Sunrise at 7:05, set at 5:50. I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy News Update for Friday, October 22nd.